1. I'm going to revisit a sermon that I preached several years ago. I'm sure that you remember it once we get started, but I added a little bit to it as I thought about my subject matter. So Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7. Of course, the setting of this is Moses had died. God did not permit him to go in to the promised land, and God raised up Joshua to lead the children of Israel into the promised land of Canaan, and it would promise to be a daunting task because they were going to have to believe God. They were going to have to act in faith. They had to cross. They had to see God split the waters of the Jordan. They had to walk over into the promised land. They had to fight at Jericho, where God fought for them. Then they had to reclaim the land that God had promised them. So it was a constant battle as they entered into the promised land. I think it really is a great picture of the Christian life. We in Christ, we are, until the Lord takes us home, we're going to be battling. We're going to be trying with everything in us to advance the cause of Christ, the glory of His kingdom, the work of the Lord. And that's what Joshua and the children of Israel, what their responsibility was. So, Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, God is talking to Joshua as a means of encouragement and also explaining to him the weight of responsibility. Now, this is all fresh and all new, and I think that Joshua was eager for the task at hand. In fact, I don't believe Joshua ever lost his sense of purpose, his zeal, his burden of responsibility to serve the Lord. But God gave him this charge. It says in verse 7, "Only be thou strong and very courageous." Folks, that's what's needed in every age. God's strength and courage to walk with Him. And notice, the reason why you're going to be needing this strength and this courage, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. No compromise. Stay focused. Don't swerve to the right or to the left. And if you'll follow the Word of God, He's going to prosper you in all your ways. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Here's the formula for carrying out the responsibility. You've got to be connected to the Word of God. So much so that you don't allow it to go out of your life. You keep it in your heart. You meditate deeply, thinking daily upon the truths of the Word of God so that you can walk in His ways. And again, He says, this is the way of success. This is the way of spiritual prosperity. And He says in verse 9, "Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Here's the key to it all. The presence and the power of God would be with Joshua as he led the children of Israel. Responsibility and resolve. These are themes throughout the book of Joshua. Now, if you would, Joshua turned it. Now, I've already gave a little bit of a summary of Joshua, but go back now to the end of the book, towards the end, chapter 22. And if you remember, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, they were going to stay on the other side. And yet, they were still responsible to remember the Lord. And I love what Joshua tells them in verse 5. And I think it really is a reminder of what he had said, and what God had said back there in the first chapter. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all His ways, and to keep His commandments, and to cleave unto Him, and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Sounds pretty much like the first and greatest commandment, doesn't it? He's telling them, even though you're on the other side of Jordan, you're not in the promised land, you're still responsible to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, every fiber of your being. This is the way that we should start, not just every new year, but every day, with this sense of responsibility and resolve to serve the Lord. Now, one of my favorite verses, passages, in fact, I sign all most of my correspondence with these verses in Joshua 24 and verse 14. Here is Joshua, an aged soldier of the Lord. And he says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Here is something that is mutually exclusive. You can't have both at the same time. You can't serve idols while at the same time serving God. He's saying, put those away. And now, as my time winds down, I am urging you, I'm charging you with the weight of this responsibility to serve the Lord your God. It says in verse 15, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell." And I love this. I think he raised his voice. I think he summoned whatever manliness he had. And he said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You know what that is? That's a resolution. And he made this resolution at the end of his days, after he had fought many battles and had been tested and tried. And he's still serving. He's still hacking away, man. And I love it. And I pray that I have the same kind of resolve at the end of my days as this aged soldier of the Lord had. It says in verse 20, now the people, they were excited. They embraced this. It says, he warns them, verse 20. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He had done you good. You know what? That's the history of Israel in a nutshell. I mean, that's in one verse you have encapsulated what happened to Israel over and over again. It was like a wash, rinse, repeat. It was a cycle that they went through. He says, but it says, verse 21, and the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. You know what? They're responding to His resolution with a resolution of their own. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. What I love about resolution and responsibility is it puts stress on you. Good stress. Yeah. I'm making it known today, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to do what it takes to follow Him faithfully by the grace of God. And Joshua said that. The people said, we're going to serve Him also. And Joshua said, okay, you said it with your own mouth. You're witnesses against yourself. Now therefore, put away, said he, he's reminding them, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey. That ought to be the resolve of every person here today. We're going to follow the Lord. We're going to serve Him. We're going to obey Him with everything in us. Now turn to verse 31. These people that made this commitment, they followed the Lord. It says, and Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that He had done for Israel. So these people that did make this commitment, they did serve the Lord. But something happened. They lost their sense of purpose. They lost their resolve. When you go over to Judges chapter 2, it's really sad. The commentary. It says in Judges chapter 2 and verse 7, And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that He did for Israel. By the way, you shouldn't serve the Lord just until or as much as the preacher does. You're to serve the Lord all the days of your life, regardless who your pastor is. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. Well, I hope I don't make it that long. Here I am at 63, kind of creaking and groaning when I get up in the morning. I can't imagine what it's like when you're 110. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel. Well, that's such a sad commentary. The younger generation allowed the Word of God to go out of their lives. The precepts no longer to be obeyed. I pray for my children and my grandchildren that God will give them a sense of resolve and responsibility. And really, that can only be if the Lord saves them and gives them a heart to serve God. And it's so sad what it says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord, God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger, and they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Asherah." The very thing that Joshua had charged the Israelites with, put away the gods, don't serve them, that's exactly what they did after Joshua and the elders died out. It says in verse 19, "And it came to pass when the judge was dead," and it's giving you kind of an overview of what's going to happen throughout the book of Judges, "that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way." And when you get to the end of Judges, it says every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You know, that's really the downfall of every society, is when people do what they feel like doing. They set themselves up as their own standard, as their own God. And it's true of humanity, no matter what age or what country you live in, a great majority of people live according to their own standards rather than the standards and the truths of the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you something. Your feelings don't matter when it comes to God's Word. God's Word trumps how you feel. We're living in a day and age where they're building entire scientific premise on how people feel rather than what the Word of God says. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to be harsh or mean. I love you. I care about your feelings. But you got to understand something. God's Word is more important than you and your opinions. Now, I've said that I think the children of Israel are an example of people who lost their sense of purpose, their responsibility to serve God, and their resolve. Now, January 1st. Most people, towards the end of the year, do a little bit of a review. What have I done? What have I accomplished? What are my goals for the new year? And people will often make resolutions. What is a resolution? It's the act of resolving or determining as upon an action or course of action, method or procedure, the mental state of being resolved or resolute, firmness of purpose. I believe the children of Israel lost that. Resolve means to fix or settle on my deliberate choice and will. Determined to do something. To settle, determine, or state formally. I've got a question for you. Have you resolved to serve the Lord your God? To love Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Today and in this upcoming 2023. Now, some folks say you should never make New Year's resolutions. Because all you're going to do is break them. Well, a lot of times people make stupid resolutions. Okay? They say, like somebody that loves steak and maybe ate a little bit too much of it over the holiday season or something, and they, I'm not going to eat any more red meat. What a dumb resolution. You know? I mean, that's what America's built on. Red meat, brother! Thank God for it, you know? I never make a resolution like that. But in a small way, I agree with the philosophy. Why limit our resolutions to one day? Or one week out of the year? Why not resolve to serve God more faithfully, read His Word more fervently, obey more cheerfully, draw nigh to God in prayer more earnestly, witness to the lost with greater zeal, worship with greater love and devotion, and lead our families in the way of truth and godliness on a daily basis? Why not make that resolution? Now, for those that say making resolutions, that's not biblical preaching. Oh, touche. I disagree. Have you ever read Psalm 119? There are numerous resolutions made after the man after who's called the man after God's own heart. He made these resolutions, and all of them were connected to the power of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit working in him. Let's read a few of them and see if we can't latch on to them. Psalm 119 in verse 7. By the way, this is a two-part sermon. So you have to come back tonight to get how to follow up on these resolutions. Psalm 119, and look what he says in verse 7. Tell me if this isn't a resolution. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I'm going to praise you with uprightness of heart. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? Those are all resolutions made by the psalmist, connected to the word of God. Look at Verse 11, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. This is the tool that will help you keep these resolutions. I'm going to hide the word in my heart. I'm going to be so familiar with the Word of God, I'm going to memorize it, I'm going to meditate upon it, I'm going to think deeply upon it, I'm going to act on it, I'm going to apply it in my everyday life. That's what he's saying. Alright, look at verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. He is making a determined choice and he's stating it publicly, outwardly. In fact, these are inspired sayings that are recorded for all eternity. These resolutions. Look at verse 30. Can you agree with this? Can you agree with what David's saying? I have chosen the way of truth. Have you? Have you chosen truth? Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Verse 44. So will I keep thy law continually forever and ever. I'm going to be persistent. I'm going to be consistent. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. Because I'm walking in your way, I'm going to tell other people about you. I'm even going to tell people in power, kings, I'm going to witness to them of your greatness. And I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. 101. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. Sounds a lot like God's charge to Joshua and Joshua's charge to the Israelites. Separate from idolatry and evil to keep the way of the Lord. Verse 102, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. Verse 106, I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. 112, I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes alway, even unto the end. This is how devoted I am. I'm gonna keep them all the way to the end of my life. Who will say that? Who will resolve to do that today? 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Boy, if you started praising God seven times a day, you wouldn't be complaining so much. Because you'd be thinking about what can I praise Him for today? Verse 172. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Now you know how much this affected him? These resolutions? Look what he says back in Psalm 101 and verse 1. I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. There's the praise that he promised to faithfully engage in. Lord, your word has had such an effect in my life. Here's the resolution I'm going to make in my home. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Those are some holy resolutions made by a man after God's own heart. And I'm asking you today to give some thought to what the Word of God, the Bible that I've read to you today, to think deeply upon it. And I'm asking you to renew your resolve to take a look at the weight of responsibility that we have as believers in our homes, in the workplace, in the Lord's church. And tonight, I'm going to give you some really practical ways in which you can make your resolutions a reality by the grace of God. Now, I say that with this disclaimer. Jim taught in Sunday school that man at his best state is altogether vanity. That means less than nothing, and oftentimes good for nothing. In our flesh there dwelleth no good thing. You can't do this apart from the power and the presence of Almighty God. You can't do it unless you're walking by faith. If you're not saved here today, I point you to the only one that can save your soul from the damnation of hell and the lake of fire. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. That is a promise from the Word of God. Look to the Lamb of God. He died on the cross for sinners. He was buried. He rose again. He's alive forevermore. And the message of the gospel can change your life for time and eternity. Repent and believe the gospel. Now tonight we'll continue this theme, if you will, of responsibility and resolution. Let's all stand.
Page 17.